ship of state, oh, the ship of state. It's a good boat, it's a right boat. But the ship of state, yes, the ship of state, is not the Albany night boat. And when the people come out to vote, someone is gonna miss that boat. So don't look now, Mr. Dewey, but your record is showing. Yes, your record is showing. Your New Deal trousers are smart, no doubt, but the Old Deal shirt tail is sticking out. So don't look now, Mr. Dewey, but the boys who have signed you are right there behind you. There's Bert McCormick right in your groove, and John the Dollies and Herb the Hoof. You made it tough for G.I. Joe to get his ballot through. But his father and his mother and his sister and his brother know exactly what to do November 7th. Don't look now, Mr. Dewey, but your record is a phooey. The soldier vote you jumbled, on Russia you fumbled, on land lease you grumbled, on world peace you mumbled. The dumbbells you've assembled will be stumbled, bumbled. So Dewey, don't look now.
Thank you, June Richmond. We take you now to New York.
This is Averill Harriman. From my experience abroad during the last 4 years, I can say with complete assurance that never in history has one man, Roosevelt, attained the confidence of so many peoples, of so many nations. It is well known abroad that Dewey is supported, and it is believed surrounded, by our isolationists. If Dewey were elected, doubt of our intent would take the place of this confidence. Our leadership in the world could not fail but be impaired for some time. There is no time to rebuild confidence. It is my earnest judgment that Dewey's election would prolong the war. With Roosevelt as our president, we will retain the successful leadership and the full unity of the Allies created by Roosevelt for the war and in shaping the world for the peace we are fighting to attain. And that is why we, Republicans and Democrats alike, urge all of you to vote for Franklin D. Roosevelt.
This is Bogart again. The existence of the United Nations in both fact and principle is one of the greatest accomplishments of this war. The spirit of this newfound unity has never been better expressed than in a song by Yip Harburg and Earl Robinson called The Free and Equal Blues. You're going to hear it now for the first time, but I dare say it won't be the last. The Free and Equal Blues, sung by Earl Robinson and Clarence Muse.
Went down to the St. James Infirmary, and we saw some plasma there. And I ups and asked the doctor man, was the donor from America, Africa, India, Asia, or where? The doctor laughed right in my face and gave it straight to me. Said a molecule is a molecule, son, and it's got no geography.
Cause ever since that day I've got those free and equal blues. You mean you heard that dog declare the plasma in that test tube there could be white man, black man, yellow man, red?
That's what he said. The doctor put down his doctor book and gave me a very scientific look. And he speaks out plain and clear and rational. Metabolism is international.
And that was you, and that was you. That was very, very, very fatal news.
Because 'Cause ever since that day I've got those free and equal blues. Well, he rigged up his microscope with some Berlin blue blood, and by gosh, it was the same as Chungking Quibshev Chattanooga Timbuktu blood. Why, them Aryans, Goring and Gobel, they don't even know the corpuscle is global, trying to disunite us with their racial supremacy, flying in the face of old man chemistry, taking all the facts and trying to twist them. But you can't overthrow the circulatory system.
Get back with you. Get back with you.
So we stayed at the St. James Infirmary. We wasn't going to leave that place, was we, boy?
No, sir.
That was too interesting.
Yeah.
I said, give me some more of that scientific talk.
And he did.
Yeah. He said, melt yourself down in a crucible, son. Pour yourself out into a test tube. And what have you got?
3,500 cubic feet of gas. The same for the upper and the lower class.
Well, we'll just let that pass.
Carbon. 22 pounds, 10 ounces.
You mean that goes for princes, dukes, and counts?
Whatever you are, that's what the amount is. Carbon, 22 pounds, 10 ounces. Iron, 57 grains.
That's not enough to keep a man in chains.
50 ounces of phosphorus, whether you're poor or prosperous.
Buddy, can you spare Matt?
Sugar, 60 ordinary lumps.
Free and equal rations for all nations.
Then you take 20 teaspoonfuls of sodium chloride.
That's all.
Mix with 38 quarts of H2O.
That's water.
Add 2 ounces of lime.
Uh-huh.
The soup's on hydrochloric acid.
Yeah.
And you stir it all up. And what are you?
A walk-in drugstore.
An international metabolistic cartel.
So listen, you African and Indian and Mexican, Mongolian, Tyrolean and Tatar. The doctor's right behind the Atlantic Charter.
The doc's behind the new brotherhood of men. As prescribed at Casablanca
and Cairo
and Moscow
and Tehran. He agrees with Dr. Roosevelt,
Dr. Churchill,
Dr. Stalin,
Dr. Eden, Hull, and Litvinov.
Every man, everywhere, is the same
when he's got his skin off.
One of the remarkable developments of this campaign has been the large number of normally Republican leaders and voters who have thrown their support to Roosevelt because their consciences could not permit them to vote for the man who seized control of the Republican Party. There are millions of them, some of them outstanding, like Senator Ball of Minnesota, Russell Davenport, Bartley Crum, other lifelong Republicans like country editor Hilton Higgins of Caldwell, New Jersey, who wanted to appear on this program but is too busy campaigning for Roosevelt tonight back in his hometown. Many a newspaper which supported Wendell Willkie in 1940 supports the president today. Among them, the New York Times, the Portland Oregon Journal, to mention only two. As I say, Republicans in all sections of the country will be with us tomorrow. But here now is a man whose father and grandfather were Republicans before him and who well remembers the greatest Republican of them all.
Julius Oscar Rainier is my name. I was 94 years old last October. I can remember way back to 1858 in Galesburg, Illinois, when Abraham Lincoln shook my hand. I voted in 19 elections, if you include this one. Voted most of my life for men who I thought could do the most good for me and mine. That's why I have voted for Roosevelt before. And that's why I'm going to vote for him again. I don't know how long I'll be around to enjoy the benefits of a world at peace. So this time, I'm voting for those who will enjoy them. The young folks, the soldiers coming back from the war, and the young women waiting for them to come back. Some of them, perhaps, voting for the first time, like the very young lady standing next to me.
My name's Betty Hall. I've come a long way, all the way from Decatur, Georgia. But I didn't come for the ride. I'm 18 years old, and in Georgia you can vote when you're 18. And they asked me to come here and tell you why I'm going to vote for President Roosevelt. After hearing the others, there's not very much I can add, only I'm more convinced than ever. And most of the young people I know feel the same way about the president. We think that even though Mr. Roosevelt is older than Mr. Dewey, he really understands young people better. I guess it's just in the heart, not in years. The president has certainly done more for people my age than anyone else I know of. And I suppose Americans of other ages could say the same. He's just done more for America. I'm very serious about my vote. When I cast my ballot tomorrow, it will be the greatest privilege I've ever had as an American citizen. But the second greatest privilege I've ever had is the honor of introducing the man I'm going to vote for. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.